This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Right, so we're just getting organized here, and I pull up my tweet deck, and the first thing I see from John Heyman is hand stays in SD. That would be Brad Hand. See, the deadline's passed now, so we're getting all the information here on all the players. In the last week, I have heard Brad Hand's name more than I think I will ever hear Brad Hand's name again. But he's staying a San Diego Padre. File that under who gives a crap. But we got plenty to give a crap about. The Blue Jays were busy today. Sonny Gray has changed uniforms. And we're going to break that all down over the next 3 hours. Gord Ash, former Blue Jays general manager, in studio with us 5 to 6 o'clock. Steve Phillips, TSN 1050, Blue Jays and MLB insider, kicking around. He did a Facebook Live earlier today. He's doing some SportsCenter stuff, doing some stuff for TSN.ca. He'll be with us in studio at 6 o'clock. And Scotty Mitchell, TSN 1050 Blue Jays reporter, in the Windy City. The Blue Jays play the White Sox tonight. He'll be along at 4:30. Dave Festchuk is with me for the next 3 hours. Overdrive for your Monday. What's up, pal?
Are you concerned if you're a Blue Jays fan that the Yankees are suddenly the Yankees again? They're suddenly going for it again. They're suddenly the evil empire again.
Well, it's
flexing
just
muscles.
It's a slow build, Dave. It's a slow build toward the 2018 offseason when Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and Josh Donaldson and Clayton Kershaw and a few other really big names become free agents. And
yeah,
the winter meetings in December of 2018 will be held in Las Vegas, Nevada. So if you're into gambling, some teams are going to throw in big money around at that time. But I think you make a good point. The Yankees mean business, and this isn't one of those like ridiculously expensive deals from a monetary point of view, because Sonny Gray's still got a couple of years control left before he hits free agency.
Yeah,
this isn't like a $22 million pitcher they've gotten here.
No,
this makes sense for them. It's a big acquisition.
It's a big one. I mean, look, they're sitting in first place as it is, half a game ahead of the Red Sox, 8 games ahead of the Blue Jays. Got a great run differential, +115, tops in the East, and now they added the Oakland A's ace in Sonny Gray, who's 27 years old, and as you point out, has a very reasonable contract. It's got a couple years pending on it. It's a big move for an AL East power. And if I'm a Blue Jays fan, I'm sitting there going, okay, there's one more reason why we got to rethink what we're up to here.
But do you... Okay, so you come at it from that perspective. If you're a Blue Jays fan, Dave, aren't you looking at it realistically and just saying, man, what we thought was going to come true came true? Because when Ross Atkins talk to the media last week, what's the one thing he said? He said, if we're going to acquire anybody, it's going to be a young, controllable player or young, controllable players.
Sure.
And what do I hear when I hear that? Okay, what are you giving up? If you're looking to acquire young, controllable players, you're giving up some of your top prospects, which wasn't going to happen, or you're giving up what little of young and controllable you actually do have on your current major league roster, and what's the point of giving young and controllable up in order to get young and controllable in return?
Right.
There's no Sanchez, there's no Stroman, there's no Osuna getting peddled out. At times, I have thought if the right deal came along, it might make sense to move one of those guys, Osuna in particular. Some people called me crazy. That's fine. But I think this team is in this mushy, really uncomfortable period of its existence where it's very apparent that the window has slammed shut on this group's ability to contend.
Yeah.
And the next window, the, for lack of a better way to put it, the Guerrero Jr. Bichette window, and hopefully for Blue Jays fans' sakes and the Blue Jays themselves, there will be other names to add to that, but we'll put it that way. The Guerrero Jr. Bichette window isn't anywhere close to opening yet. Those guys are still at high A-ball. They are still a good year or two away from contributing. So you're now in this mushy middle where you didn't have a lot to trade that was appealing. The guys on expiring contracts were either hurt or hurt and underperformed this year. And so you're not expecting a lot in return, and you just kind of divest a couple of assets and move on.
Yeah.
The next 2 months will be playing out the string.
Well, and apparently, look, the guy they got for the key piece they got in the Liriano deal with the Astros.
Teoscar Hernandez?
Teoscar Hernandez is a 24-year-old outfielder. I guess they see something in it. They see the possibility of an everyday player down the road in Teoscar Hernandez. Whether or not that comes true, it'll come down to scouting. It'll come down to luck, as it always does. And it'll come down to Hernandez's drive and will to be the player that he can be, I guess. So there's something there, I guess. You can throw the fans a bone and say, hey, we got this guy.
So he's 24, as you said.
Yeah.
He's an outfielder. And when you look at next year's outfield, Dave, you're saying to yourself,
ugly.
There's opportunity there.
You think? And
Bautista's out the door. Ezekiel Carrera will never not be Ezekiel Carrera. He's actually had a decent year offensively, but you've got to upgrade in left field. I had a conversation with somebody close to the team a couple of weeks ago who said, and I'm going to mute some of the words that I can't throw in, but to, you know, this guy, in terms of baseball IQ, has some of the lowest baseball IQ I've ever seen. And this gets into some of the routes he takes to fly balls and consistently throwing to the wrong base on base hits and things like that. I think you've got to upgrade there. You don't want Steve Pierce because he's just a defensive liability. He's kind of a guy without a position now, Dave, because Justin Smoke has solidified first base, and being a switch hitter, you want him in the lineup every day. You don't care. Righty, lefty, he can hit them all. It's a strong side every night with Justin Smoke.
Yeah.
So where does, you know, and Pierce, I think they were taking calls on him, but as far as we know right now, nothing's gone down. So you've got right field, you got left field available, you got a center fielder in Kevin Pillar who, let's be honest, can't hit. So you've got opportunity here if you're Teoscar Hernandez. You go to camp next year, you've got an OPS of 850 plus in AAA. Now, that is the Pacific Coast League, which is known as a hitter's league.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take anything away from the kid, but we got to throw that out there. And so you see what you've got. But this was going to be an underwhelming day for the Blue Jays, and this, generally speaking, has gone down as expected. Underwhelming.
Yeah, underwhelming for sure. And a little bit puzzling as to the direction. I think you talked about the mushy position they're in. It's the mushy middle of sports that you never want to be in, where you're not good enough to contend. You've hit this brick wall of realization that, you know, 2016 and 2015, those are in the past, and the magic that you had the late half of 2015 that carried over into 2016, it's gone. It's not coming back. And so, but the question is, Scotty, I think the question is, how do they proceed from here when they're raising ticket prices next year by 7% to 17%? When they're building up expectation that they think they can plug some holes and contend, and certainly expecting people to pay to watch a team that is going to purport to contend. Like, how dumb do you have to be to connect the dots here and realize all these things don't add up?
Here's what you need next year. All right, I'm going to list. And this is, I don't have anything in front of me, so I'm going to go off the top of my head. Aaron Sanchez has got to be healthy next year and pitch extremely well. And there are people who believe he could be a Cy Young candidate if he could stay healthy. He was the ERA champion last year. But you, again, these are ifs.
Get him a personal manicurist in the offseason, like 5 manicures a week.
Sit him down
whatever
with
it takes.
Sit him down with Moises Alou. How many times a day did you pee on your hands, Moises? How many times a day did you urinate on your hands? Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
You know, Alou was one of those no batting gloves guys, and that's how he kept his hands tough. It's disgusting, but that's the truth. And other guys have done it as well. So you got to have Sanchez healthy and pitching very well. You need another year like this year out of Stroman, or even better. I think he's fully capable of it. You've decided to keep Jay Happ, which makes sense because you got another year of him before he hits free agency. And if you were to trade Jay Happ, Dave, you would then have three rotation spots to deal with, right?
Because
you were shipping Liriano out, and you've got to decide what to do with Marco Estrada. Here's what I wonder about Marco Estrada, who has essentially pitched his value into the toilet.
Big time.
He likes it here. He likes it here in Toronto. We've seen, and this organization has seen, what Marco Estrada can do, both in 2015 and 2016, and the first 2 months of this season. Like, that's a large sample size.
Sure.
This isn't, it was not a flash in the pan. You could have made the argument the first half of 2015, or one full season, 2015, could have been a flash in the pan, but he backed it up in 16, and he got off to a nice start this year. I wonder if his value is so depleted that Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins say to themselves, so we got Sanchez, we got Stroman, we got Happ. Let's backfill the back end of the rotation. Let's bring Marco Estrada back on the cheap. He likes it here.
Mm-hmm.
He's likely not to get a long-term offer anywhere else.
After the way he's pitched.
He's certainly not going to get big money.
Well, he's 33 years old.
And this team does not attract free agent pitchers who haven't been here before. Who was the last big-name free agent pitcher, starting pitcher, they signed? Was it A.J. Burnett?
You said starter. It would be A.J. Burnett.
Because if Jay Happ's a big name,
it would be B.J. Ryan, probably.
Because if Jay Happ's included in that, well, he'd been here before.
Yeah.
He knew the city. He liked it.
He wasn't big name either.
Right.
He was kind of consolation prize name.
Right.
Right. Which turned out way better than you could have ever expected and was great. But you're right. So what you're saying is there's a scenario there that if all those guys, if you got a bounce from Estrada, if you brought him back on the cheap and you got a bounce from him and hope that the guy he was a couple of years ago, these past couple of years, he can become again at age 34 by next year. If you got Stroman and Sanchez to be good, as you expect them to be, because they're your young guys, and if you could keep Happ for that extra year at age, he'll be, what, turning 35. So you're hoping that would be the basis for one of the better starting rotations in the American League, ideally, right? Which is plausible, totally plausible. But then you go from there. How do you plug all the black holes
right
in your lineup?
Well, this is it. You got Russell Martin, your catcher.
Right.
I'm actually okay with that. I know he's not hitting for average, but he does get on base.
Okay.
And he's still a reasonably good defensive catcher. He's not the player he was. Nobody expects him to be at that age. So we're fine there. Let's work off the assumption, until they trade him, they have him. So we have to work off the assumption that they have Josh Donaldson entering into 2018. If the plan is to contend, you telling me they're going to raise ticket prices between 7 and 17% on selected seats, and then they're going to trade Josh Donaldson at the winter meetings?
It's hard to imagine.
You can't sell that. You can't sell that. I don't know what they're doing to his value. We've got to let this thing play out. But if next season goes off the rails, you have to move him at the non-waiver trade deadline, you would think, right? You'd have to try and extract whatever value you can.
Do you have to? Because I thought there was a hell of an argument for moving him at this non-waiver trade deadline.
Well, they're clearly not doing that,
No, we understand that. But I'm saying, you say you have to next year. I would have said you would have had to this year, and it's not happening now. And I would bet it might not happen next year either. Because they may just say, let's re-sign him. He's our guy. He likes it here. He'll re-sign here. Depending on what kind of bounce he has off this bad injury-plagued year, very uncharacteristic year, you know, he may not have, you know, if he doesn't come back to the guy he was in his late 20s, the top five in the league guy, the top five in MVP voting guy every year, the perennial all-star, if he doesn't get back to quite that level, maybe he's your guy long term.
We got Yu Darvish going to the LA Dodgers. Ooh. Ken Rosenthal has just tweeted that out. So we'll get on that in just a second. But I wanted to finish my thought on, you got Martin, you got Donaldson, you got a black hole at shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki.
Can be a problem.
You got Devin Travis's health, which is a huge problem at second base. You need Justin Smoke to not have a 1 year flash in the pan situation
right
at first.
Right.
We've been over the outfield, where, to me, you could upgrade at every position. You're not going to be able to, but you could.
That's the problem.
Conceivably.
You're not going to be able to.
You've got five or six positional issues heading into next season, and so that's why I don't see the path to contention in 2018.
Precisely.
That's the problem.
That is the problem.
This Blue Jays team faces. Now, with the City Place condo development and the fact that a lot of people like to start their weekends on a Friday night down at a ball game, and they hang out in that flight deck in center field and they crush pints, can you continue to live off of the baseball renaissance of 2015, 2016 for another year or two until those next wave of prospects come up? And maybe that's what they're going to count on here. And maybe the verbal sales pitch is going to be, we're going to try in 2018. And you just hope you get off to a good start.
Yeah.
This team has not gotten off to good starts, though, since John Gibbons has come back. I'm not laying them at his feet. I'm just using his tenure as an example. They're typically slow in April, and it's May or June, if it happens, before they start to turn it around. You're going to have a better start.
And you got to hope, you got to hope Josh Donaldson is Josh Donaldson again and can kind of carry a squad in the moments when the squad is really heavy to carry. Because, you know, you talk about you've only got five or six positional issues. Well, there's only nine positions last time I checked. So, I mean, or eight if you don't count pitchers. So, you know, you've got massive problems all over the diamond when it comes to your positional players. And to me, I just don't understand how this isn't the moment to really tear it down and try and get that Chicago Cubs model going here, where you get a number one or a number two or a number three overall pick. You really tear it down. You lose 100 games. You do exactly what Theo Epstein did. It's a copycat business, we always hear. Why not copy the guy that's been the biggest genius in the business the past 15 years and do what he did with the Cubs, which was, in short order, take them from 100-game losers to, 5 years later, World Series champions.
The one thing I don't think the Jays can do that the Cubs did, Dave, is draft positionally and then count on free agency to bring in their starting rotation, like they did with John Lester.
But they've got a starting rotation.
They did with John Lackey. Well, yes, they do now. But if you tear it down to the wood, presumably you might trade a couple of those guys.
Maybe.
Right? To tear it right down. Right
or
down.
Or would you just keep...
Because the Jays cannot attract free agent starting pitchers the way that the Chicago Cubs can, right? So I think it's always important that the Blue Jays draft and develop their own arms.
Okay.
I think necessary.
But my thing is, you look at it, everybody keeps talking about Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, but there's two key numbers to remember with those two guys. As talented and promising as they are, Guerrero Jr.'s 18. Bo Bichette's 19. Okay, so... You know, in what universe are we seeing guys come up at 19 and 20 outside the Trouts and the Harpers and make massive impact? And in what universe is that wise to even try unless you know you've got a Harper or a Trout on your hands, which I don't think anybody's saying these two guys are.
Right. And I look at this, if they finish strong, Vlad Guerrero and Bo Bichette at high single A, and they're in Dunedin now. They tore up the Midwest League at Lansing. They got promoted right after the Midwest League All-Star Game, so they're going to finish the year, I would think, in Dunedin. You start them next year at Double A New Hampshire.
Sure.
And if they have good seasons, I think you keep them there for a good portion of next year. And if they have good seasons, maybe you give them a sniff of Triple A Buffalo toward the end just to see how they fare against the tier of pitching just below the major league level.
Because you might need a good news story late in the year.
Yeah, but I would not, I really think they've got to not rush these kids. And people say Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s bat is major league ready. Okay, but have they settled on a position for him yet? Do they look at him as a third baseman? Is he going to be able to man the hot corner? Do you have to move him to the outfield? Does he profile better as a part-time DH and maybe... part-time outfield, whatever the case may be. You got to deal with all this stuff. Plus, they got to learn the ropes, and that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to ask of a major league ball player at any age. But when he is young, it's the adjustments.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to come in. You're going to potentially dominate. You're going to go one time through the league. There's going to be plenty of video on you. And then pitchers are going to adjust. Aaron Judge right now, 30 home runs before the All-Star break. Low ball hitter. Everybody's throwing him fastballs at the letters.
Yeah.
He's not seeing a lot of low balls now. And his numbers have dwindled since the All-Star break. It's going to be incumbent upon him now to adjust to the adjustment. And these are all things these young ball players go through, and you can't rush them because you can mess with them if you do that.
Well, and Judge is a great example of that. He's 25 years old and a rookie phenom, right? So that's a great point. And but my thing, like, there's time here. To me, the situation they're in, to me, profiles perfectly for a tank job. And I for the life of me, I can't understand what they're up to in not doing that, other than trying to fool people into believing they're a contender when they're not.
40,000 seats, butts in seats, is an addictive thing. TV ratings and the ad revenue that goes with it is an addictive thing. And, I had Mark Shapiro on the program about 3 weeks ago, and I asked him, baseball and business sometimes clash. And he more or less acknowledged that there is more than just strictly baseball that goes into some of these decisions. And I think that there would be people who, I mean, hell, we all want local teams to do well. It's a lot better when local teams are winning than they're losing. And you're more likely to go to games and all that stuff. And I think selling the notion of contention in 2018 is going to do a lot more, especially with a fringe fan who doesn't necessarily pay attention. Okay, I want to go to X number of games. Selling contention is going to be a lot easier than saying, yeah, we're stripping it down to the wood and we're going to be a 95 loss team before we're even out of the gate. That's a hard, hard sell.
This sounds Leaf-esque, pre-Shanahan.
But there's no salary cap in baseball. Gord Ash, former Blue Jays GM, TSN 1050 baseball analyst, will be with Dave and me in studio for the full 5 o'clock hour. Scott Mitchell is TSN 1050's Blue Jays reporter. He's at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago, where the Jays open a series against the White Sox tonight. He's embedded with the team. He'll join us next. Overdrive with Scott MacArthur and Dave Festchuk continues in a moment. Hey, Zodog and Noodles are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament, September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. Visit tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. Scott MacArthur, Dave Festchuk, Overdrive for your Monday. Gord Ash in studio for the full hour at 5 o'clock. TSN Blue Jays insider Steve Phillips with us in studio at 6 o'clock. Yu Darvish, Dave, to the LA Dodgers. They also went and got lefty reliever Tony Watson from Pittsburgh. This is a good team. This is one hell of a baseball team, the LA Dodgers.
Wow.
Strong rotation, strong in the bullpen, and they just went and got better. They're all in. They're going for it.
Well, they're the best team in baseball by quite a margin before they do all this. And now they're bringing in Yu Darvish. Watson's going to help them. I mean, this is a big move by a team, frankly, that really deserved to make or needed to make a big move. I mean, how many times have we talked about the Dodgers as would-be contenders to win a World Series, and how many have they won in this era? Hasn't happened. So they look like a team that knows they need to win one, and if not now, in a year where their nemesis, the San Francisco Giants, are in the wasteland of the basement, this is the moment for them.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Gord Ash about specifically the Cubs' approach, because the Dodgers do have a very nice farm system. The Cubs have essentially raided theirs, but they've done it with a strategy. And we'll get Gord to explain that and his thoughts on it. And, of course, he can touch on what his Milwaukee Brewers have done as well, and we'll spin you around the league. So the big news is that Yu Darvish is a Los Angeles Dodger. We'll head to Chicago on the other side. Scott Mitchell, TSN, TSN 1050 Blue Jays reporter, will join us to break down the moves the Blue Jays made. Liriano and Joe Smith have been shipped out of town. And coming up later this hour, our first installment on this show of Sound Wars. Looking forward to it. Scott MacArthur, Dave Festchuk, Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app. Scott MacArthur, Dave Festchuk, Overdrive for your Monday. TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app. Gord Ash in studio for the full hour, 5 to 6 o'clock, the former Blue Jays GM in to break down MLB's trade deadline. Big stories, Sonny Gray a Yankee, and in the last 15 minutes, Ken Rosenthal breaking it, Yu Darvish is a Los Angeles Dodger. Plenty of other moves as well, but those are really the two big ones that stand out. Steve Phillips, TSN Blue Jays insider, will be along in studio at 6 o'clock. But we should go to Chicago now. That's where the Blue Jays open up a highly anticipated three-game series with the White Sox tonight. I think we'll talk more about the moves that they made. Scott Mitchell is our Blue Jays reporter, and he's brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. What's up, pal? How is Guaranteed Rate Field?
It's Guaranteed Seat Field. You got that wrong.
Is it really? I was Guaranteed Rate Field. Are you just messing with me?
I'm just messing with you. This is the rebuilding club. There's lots of seats available. So it's a little play on words there, Scotty.
You'd be the Cosmo Kramer and do a seat fill during the game. Maybe pump out a column from the crowd tonight. White Sox could use the help. All right, so let's get right to it. Francisco Liriano to Houston for Nori Aoki and Teoscar Hernandez. Your initial thoughts on that trade?
I thought that was a really interesting move. And when you look at the deal, obviously everyone knows Nick Aoki because he's a major league guy. This is simply to match up the salary. Hernandez is the get for these guys. And it's interesting because I've been talking for, a few weeks now when we've chatted that their depth in the upper minors just isn't very good, to be honest. I mean, we've seen this team reach into the minor league system for depth, for spot starters, and when they had all those injuries early in the season in May, they were forced to call up Anthony Alford, a guy who was on the 40-man, but probably was never in the plans to be up this year, and then because they didn't have much else ready on hand in AAA. They were forced to do that, and Hernandez is an interesting guy because he's fairly highly regarded. He was the number 9 prospect on the MLB pipeline list, and this is a guy who has produced. He's a little bit of a stats guy, an interesting kind of under the radar guy who's got some athleticism and can play the outfield, and some people even think he could be passable in center field. So it's a real interesting addition, and when you look at what you can get that type of guy for Liriano, a guy who clearly wasn't in the plans at any point down the road, to get a kind of a major league ready outfielder who could potentially be a little bit more than the sum of his parts. He's not a huge scouting guy. He's more of a guy that's just produced through the minor leagues and as he worked his way up the ladder and already has a little bit of major league experience homering off Liriano, interestingly. And I thought that was a real interesting move. And when you look around some of the deals today, I think that's one of the more one of the better trades that you see, because a guy that the Astros are kind of loaded with outfielders. This allows them to bring Derek Fisher up permanently and get him on the playoff roster. And whether Aoki spends any time at all in the Blue Jays clubhouse will be interesting. But an interesting trade. And then the Smith one as well, a double-A lefty who potentially could be a rotation piece or in the rotation mix next spring. I was 23 years old. So it's an interesting day. You got two guys that were never in the plans, free agents this winter, and a little bit of tinkering, and I thought the return was nice.
So, Scott, I mean, when you look at the way that this franchise is proceeding, this Blue Jays franchise, I mean, it's pretty clear that they're going to sell the idea that they can be contenders in 2018, given, the fact that they're not divesting themselves of any young players today, given the fact that they're, have a plan to raise ticket prices. And yet they've got, as we would all acknowledge, they've got plenty of holes in their positional lineup going forward. I mean, how do you think between now and opening day 2018, I mean, how do you think they'll approach attempting to fill some of the holes that are so gaping in their lineup?
There's definitely a lot of work to do. I mean, this is the start of that process. And when you, like you say, when you look at the roster, there's clear needs in the outfield. There's clear needs at the back end of the rotation. The bullpen is going to need to be tinkered with this offseason. A second base answer, whether that's Devin Travis returning to health or something outside the organization, is going to need to be found. And then there's the Troy Tulowitzki question, which, thanks to his contract, really isn't much of a question. But today, I mean, to tinker like that and get, a couple guys who could be in the mix for roster spots next spring in Pannone and Hernandez. You look at that. You look at that, and that's a decent start considering you're just giving up 2 months of two guys that weren't in the future plans. But this winter is a key. It's a key time in this franchise's kind of present at this point to retool, and they're going to have to get creative. And how they do that, I don't know. I don't know if Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins know that at this point. There's the Josh Donaldson question, considering he's heading into his final season in control and will be a free agent next winter. So maybe that's the answer of how they fill some of these holes. But I think when you look at this club, there's enough talent on this roster. It's we're in, everyone lives in what they've seen most recently. And this team has obviously struggled and it's been a bad season. But when you really break down the roster and factor in the return to health of Aaron Sanchez and Devin Travis, you start to see that there are some pieces there that you can build around, but the amount of work they have to do, especially in the outfield, is it's a lot, and it's going to take some creativity, because, like I say, I don't think you can go into free agency trying to fill all these holes. You're going to have to look at some deals, and potentially what's out there this winter will be big for this team.
Do you think there's a chance, Scotty, that Marco Estrada could be back on a short-term, relatively low-dollar contract for 2018?
Sure, why not? I mean, this is a guy who's had success here, and other than this two-month stretch where he's completely fallen apart, he's been a mid-rotation starter, and at times even better than that. If Marco Estrada wants to return to Toronto, and I mean, I think, we'll see over the next couple months, even if, I mean, technically he still could be on the move. I mean, today is obviously just the non-waiver deadline. It'll be interesting to see if over the next couple starts, if he can pull things back together and a team comes calling to get him, to add him for the final maybe 6 weeks of the season. But I think this is a place where he's talked about being very comfortable and loving the city of Toronto, and you're going to have to go into next season. If you look at Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, and Jay Happ, who wasn't on the move today atop the rotation, you've got two clear spots. And if Marco wants to return and you can get him at a discount after a mediocre season, I think that's something that both sides would be interested in, considering just the familiarity and the fact that he wouldn't be counted on to be one of those top of the rotation guys. He'd be more of a back end starter, and if you get that on a short term deal and at a good dollar value, I think that's something that both sides would consider.
So, Scott, when you see the New York Yankees are able to acquire Sonny Gray, already leading the American League East, obviously, now getting a guy that they can have control over who's only 27 years old, I mean, how much does that concern you if you are a Blue Jays fan, that the Yankees are sort of getting back into the business of being the Yankees, obviously with an eye toward that incredible free agent summer of 2018 coming in a couple of years? How much does that scare you as a Blue Jays fan?
It's definitely an interesting time in the AL East, because you look at not only the Yankees, but the Boston Red Sox, who have a tremendous core of young positional players. It's going to be a dogfight for the next few years. And I think you factor that into where this team goes. And we could be sitting here a year from now, if things don't go as planned, to begin 2018, which a lot of, people, if you listen to people that would like to see this team totally tear it down and rebuild, with that in mind, we could be talking about something similar next year, just with the based on how good this division is going to be. I mean, even you throw the Tampa Bay Rays into that mix, and they're a team that's kind of exceeded expectations a little bit this season, and they've got a good group of young players as well, and some more on the way. So, you know, the Yankees, like you say, it's starting to feel like a number of years ago where the Yankees and Red Sox are always loading up, and you got to think that they're going to be looking to make some sort of free agent splash this winter ahead of the 2018 class, where everyone expects Bryce Harper to be wearing pinstripes at that point. But this is not an easy division. It's never been that way. And when you look at 2018, I think realistically, you're just hoping to be in the wild card mix, and you're hoping to be maybe 12 games better than you are at this point, which is a realistic expectation to get into that wild card race at, you know, anywhere from 85 to 90 wins. I don't think Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro are trying to or pretending that they're going to be able to build a 95 win team for next season. But I think to get back to 85 wins, which puts you in the conversation, which is all you can ask for at this point. We've seen wild card teams be very successful in the playoffs, and you got to get hot at the right time. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting 5-year period as they kind of toe that line between rebuilding, retooling, whatever you want to call it, and waiting for the kids that will really maybe push this future forward in 2019, 2020, 2021.
With Scott Mitchell, TSN Blue Jays reporter from Chicago, where the Jays will play the White Sox tonight. We got 60 seconds here, Scotty. A quick thought on the Red Sox, who get Addison Reed from the Mets to pitch in front of Craig Kimbrell in the eighth inning, but they don't go and get a bat. Will they regret that?
Well, they may, unless Big Poppy has a change of heart and decides he wants to play 6 weeks of baseball or something like that. But when you look at that lineup, there's enough there. And to me, they look like the type of team that could be successful in the playoffs. Sure, the power hasn't been there. I think they're second last in the American League in slugging this year. And that's obviously a concern and a big difference from what they were last year. But Addison Reed is a real nice bullpen piece behind Kimbrell. And Carson Smith, a guy who they acquired a couple of years ago from the Seattle Mariners, is working his way back from Tommy John surgery, and that could be a real under-the-radar addition too. So I think when you look at what the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees have done over the past couple of weeks, it's set up a real interesting race down the stretch here in the AL East, and I think both of those teams at this point should be considered serious contenders.
All right, bud. Thanks for this. Enjoy the game tonight. Should be a barn burner.
All right, boys. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, TSN Blue Chase reporter from Chicago, and our Baseball Insider brought to you by the Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. Former Blue Jays GM Gord Ash to join Dave and me in studio for the full 5 o'clock hour, and then Steve Phillips after that. And we'll debut, at least for Overdrive, Sound Wars. That's next. Stay with us. Overdrive on TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app.
It's time for a TSN 1050 Sound War.
Whoa, what a hit that was!
This is the worst one for sure.
All right, this is new to TSN 1050 today, and we're going to be doing this for the next few weeks. TSN 1050's Sound Wars. And we've got a new one coming up here in just a moment, but first, the winner from today's Sound Wars battle between Tanner Rourke, quote, getting his tits lit, and the Lowryisms is
Rourke got knocked out in the third inning.
Rourke's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
That's Keith Hernandez in a commercial break of a Mets-Dodgers game, looking at the scoreboard and seeing the Nationals having a rough night, and Tanner Rourke. Keith Hernandez. Keith has had some brilliant moments since. This is when he punted the broadcast for a couple of innings, wandered around to go get a hot dog.
Love it.
Anyway, so Tits Lit advances in the bracket with 80% of the vote. So congratulations to Keith Hernandez. He survives. So now the best on-air moments are about to go head-to-head. And then you get to decide which one survives in this TSN 1050 Sound War. It's brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager. So here's on-air moment, seed number 1 versus seed number 16. On-air moment number 1, Overdrive reacting to O-Dog getting caught with a hot mic on TSN's hockey trade deadline coverage.
We want to get Brent's feedback. He covers the Senators on a regular day on the Curtis Lazar trade to Calgary. Brent.
there ketchup on that?
Oh my God, that's like sultry.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
The beauty of that was it was just absolutely honest and real. He needed to know. He didn't know the microphones were on. He needed to know, was there ketchup on that? Brilliant. So we're putting that clip of O-Dog up against this on-air moment, number 16 in the bracket. Andy Petrillo, the host of Leafs Lunch, offering this up over the holiday season.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. There you go. That's it, everyone. That was my Christmas concert.
Really good, Andy.
Dregs. Let's go.
I thought you started strong, but then to analyze, you kind of lost the tone there at the end. But
I was ad-libbing.
All right, so there you have it. O-Dog versus Andy. Go to tsn1050.ca, click on Sound Wars, and vote for your favorite on-air moment. Seed number one, is there ketchup on that? Or seed number 16, Andy sings Santa Baby. Voting for this Sound War closes tomorrow at 8 a.m. You can listen to Naylor and Landsberg in the morning for the results and then for the start of a new Sound Wars battle on TSN 1050. Sound Wars is brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager at select Loblaws grocery stores. I know where my vote's going for that one, Dave.
That's a pretty legendary O-Dog moment, isn't it?
It's the beauty of it was just the sheer honesty.
Yeah.
It was naturally inquisitive. There was nothing put on about that at all. We got burgers. Is there ketchup on it?
I love it. You know? That's classic O-Dog. It will go down in history. Like O-Dog's career clip will have that prominently featured.
See, if I were a betting man, if there were odds in Vegas for this TSN 1050 Sound Wars, that clip, to me, is the favorite.
To me, of all the stuff that's appeared on TSN Airwaves, in the last year or so? It's by far and away the odds-on championship favorite.
All right, so Overdrive's going to continue next hour with Gord Ash, former Blue Jays GM, will join Dave and me in studio for the full hour. Here's the big news of the day. Sonny Gray is a New York Yankee. Three prospects going to Oakland in return. The Los Angeles Dodgers go and get Yu Darvish from the Texas Rangers. And that's a deal that was reported by Ken Rosenthal about 15 minutes after the deadline passed. Some stuff, as you know, and it does every year, trickles out after the deadline passes. So the Dodgers get Yu Darvish to supplement the starting rotation. They also get Tony Watson from the Pittsburgh Pirates to fill in their bullpen. I think their main target, Dave, was Zach Britton. Mm-hmm. But the Baltimore Orioles, they didn't want to use him in the wild card game last year. They didn't want to trade him at the deadline this year. Kind of crazy. So the Dodgers getting better. The Chicago Cubs getting better. The New York Yankees getting better. Some of the major markets are doing major work.
The rich getting richer in baseball. How about that? And, you know, it's got to scare you a little bit if you're a Blue Jays fan, because we just came through this window where the Yankees and Red Sox weren't very good, and what did it coincide with? The renaissance of baseball in Toronto. Well, that era might be over, Scotty. I think it might be over.
John Gibbons just telling the media now, Troy Tulowitzki's right foot is in a cast. Hmm. We'll get Gord Ash in studio, hour number two of Overdrive, to break down baseball's trade deadline. Stay with us, TSN 1050, the TSN Go app.